Well, let us open our Bibles, the third John. We finished, I think, in last week we finished three whole verses. And Chris, could you get those lights for me just for a second?
Okay.
You're awesome. Thank you. Maybe four. I think we finished four verses, verses 1 through 4. Okay. And we actually did. We got through a whole four verses in an hour. So, all right, we're gonna be reading some verses here, and we're gonna be going on from verse 5. I'm gonna read all the way 5 to 13, and we're finishing it today. So I'm gonna put the pedal to the metal, and so you can read in whatever version you're reading right now. But I'm gonna start off in verse 5, if I can read it properly. Here we go. It says, "Ready? Lord, bless the reading of your word by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's name, Father. Open our ears, our eyes, by your Holy Spirit to whatever you want us to see and hear and understand. Give us understanding. We're asking you for this in Jesus Christ's name, our Lord and Savior." And all God's people together say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Verse 5 says, "Dear friend," or some of your translations, like the King James, say, "beloved," which I like better. Agapetos in the Greek. It says, "You are faithful in what you are doing for your brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans." Verse 8 says, "We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth." Verse 9 says, "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he's doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so, and he even puts them out of the church." Verse 11 says, "Dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name." All right, so we are starting off. Just for a quick recap, we'll just go. I'm not going to recap all those verses because it took too much time. But we talked about it intensely, so I'll just start off. Just a quick recap, going back to verse 4. 3 John verse 4 says, and this is the Apostle John who's writing this at the end of his life, and he's just trying to reach out to as many people as he possibly can as he's discipling them, encouraging them, strengthening them in the Lord. They called him Thunder Voice, and even as old age, and like Ephesus, they would bring him out on a stretcher, and he was just so weak. Even at his weakest, right before his death, they say that they would bring him up, and he would just say, "Love one another," in a big thundering voice, and then that's all the strength he had for, and they'd have to put him back down. So that was your sermon. So really, you know. Yeah, he's a little bit better, you know, concise than I am. But it says, this is what he's writing to Gaius and to that church. And for us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." And he's not talking about his physical children. He's talking about his spiritual children, that they're walking in the truth. And you remember what that word walking means in Greek? It's peripateo. And it means living life. It means being occupied with, engaged with, engrossed with the truth. So it's not that we come into church on Sunday and then we go live our own life however we want to live. That's not what it's about. Walking in the truth is being occupied with the Lord, his heart, his word, his Holy Spirit, engaged and engrossed with him. That's the leading of it in our life. And in Hebrew, it literally means, the Hebrew version of that word walking, it means to how you live, how you regulate your life, how you conduct yourself in all your affairs. So this is the same word used in the New Testament here, peripateo, where it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk," peripateo, "and to please God just as you're doing, that you do so more and more." It's the same thing for us. As we're walking with the Lord, you know what? We should never become stagnant as a Christian. If you are, then you need to be stirred up. Have you ever, I don't know if you've ever been like to Duff's. Everybody been to Duff's? You know what Duff's is? Everybody just, okay, or you know, all you can eat buffet. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Okay, so if you notice sometimes what they'll do, if it's not hot, what they'll do is they'll come and they'll take it and they'll take the stuff and they'll go, vroom, let's make the big spoon in it, stir it up, you know, get all the hot heat from the bottom, stir it back up, make it all nice, hot and fresh again. That's what God wants to do to you. He wants to make you hot and fresh. But you know what I'm saying, right? He wants to stir you up to love and to good deeds. So don't be satisfied with where you're at. Seek him. Walk with him daily. Even a cup of water that you give in Jesus' name can sometimes be the difference between life and death. Looking somebody in the eye, being patient with somebody, showing the kindness of Jesus. You don't know what that's doing to somebody. Yes, ma'am.
I had a great analogy.
And I wish I had a microphone for you, but I don't know where it is. Oh, thank you, George. Would you mind bringing it? You are multitasking today. So those of you who don't know, we allowed to make comments and ask questions here. So go ahead.
Stagnant water produces mosquitoes, and so then the mosquitoes become bloodsuckers.
Yeah.
So we're not, the water's not doing anything. They're just creating the stagnant. Then we become, we just keep drawing off of other people and sucking everything out of them rather than giving back to them.
Wow. That's a good one. So Natalie is going to come up here and preach this. That's a good word. You can applaud that. That was straight from the Lord. I received that. That's true, isn't it? It is. It's true for, well, that's true for my friend, not for me. Yes, it is. It's true for all of us, right? And in the Hebrew version of that word, walk, it's the same. It's in Psalm 86:11. He says, teach me. This is a psalmist saying, teach me your way, O Lord. And we do that by God's word. If you will take it in and hide it in your heart so you won't sin again, you can walk. I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I might fear or reverence your name. Psalm 86:11. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So, one of the things we're going to talk about is being faithful. Now, does anybody recognize what this is? Ah, okay. You are correct. This is Old Faithful. This is Yellowstone's geyser. I said geyser. This is Pastor. No, Yellowstone's
geyser.
We can't edit this out. Geyser. Thank you so much. Okay, so how many guys have seen this in person? Anybody? Okay. Oh, wow, a few of it. Cool. All right. Well, this geyser was discovered in 1870, and Old Faithful was named for its frequent and predictable eruptions, which number more than a million since Yellowstone became the world's first national park in 1872. So 20 times a day, approximately every 74 minutes, Old Faithful erupts and sprays scalding hot water, 200-degree water in the air, about 4,000 to 8,000 gallons, depending on the duration of the eruption, and it sprays it about 180 feet in the air. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And now, take a guess. Now, do you know how many people come to view Old Faithful every year? Take a guess. Shout out something. How many? 100,000? Okay, half a million?
50,000?
1.5 million? 1.5 million? Yeah. 2 million. Three. Okay, let me tell you what it is. Okay, and yes, there's a point to this story. I don't just like talking about, you know, geysers. Don't say that. Now, 4 million people
a year
come to see this, to come to see Old Faithful. Now, just so you know, in Yellowstone, there's literally 10,000 of these hot spring geysers. These hot spring geysers that do. So why, and they don't even keep track of how many are going to see any of the rest of them, because by and large, people don't go to see them. But they go to see this one and to witness it and to view it. And you know why that is? The answer is no. Simply because it is faithful. That's why there's 10,000 of them. They could go anywhere and see this, but they know this one's good. Now listen, the first, look in verse 5 with me, because there's something about being faithful. There's not a lot of bells, a lot of witnesses, there's not a lot of flashbangs, there's no laser light shows with being faithful, but there's power in it. And verse 5, it starts off, dear friend or beloved, you are faithful in what you are doing for your brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. And so when I see that, the word that jumps out to me first is that word faithful. You know, dear friend or beloved, faithful. The word faithful. Now, first, you got to know that God is faithful to us. Now, listen, for those of you who have really given your hearts over to Jesus Christ and have walked peripateo with the Lord for at least a few years, okay? And you've got some experience on your belt. You've gone through hard times. You've gone through some, whatever. Okay, would you just raise your hand if you've been, you know, a Christian for more than a few years and you've really walked with the Lord? And keep your hands up for a second. Okay, now, how many of you can say confidently that God is faithful? Everybody, actually, I saw more hands go up. How did that happen? But good, you can put them down. So we have to remember that our God is faithful, because you know something happens when we're going through stuff, right? When we're going through the ringer, where we start to doubt, or we start to, Lord, are you still there? Are you right? Don't, isn't it true sometimes? Sometimes it happens. But God is faithful. Listen to what God's word says to you. This is in 2 Thessalonians 3:3. You remember when you're going through these times. It says the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you. He will protect you from the evil one. And you can claim and count on that promise no matter what you're going through. Amen?
Amen.
And listen, the good news is that's not good news that we screw up. But the good news is when we screw up, the good news is he's still faithful to us. That's what blows me away. Listen to what he says. This is in 1 Thessalonians 5:24 in the New King James. He says, he who calls you is faithful, and he will also do it. Listen, you are signed, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered. Hallelujah. He is faithful to you. He has been faithful to you, and he will continue to be faithful to you no matter what you're going through. And you believe it in Jesus' name. Now, it says not just faithfulness. It's his, he says, dear friend or beloved. Okay, he's like, you are faithful. And I don't know about you, but I like that. In fact, I love that. Here's the Apostle John. I mean, he walked with Jesus. He was up in the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew, I think. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy who walked, saw miracles, witnessed the Lord for years, and he's saying, you are faithful. What a beautiful thing to have said about you. Wouldn't it? The word faithful in the Greek is pistos. And it means trustworthy. It means one who can be relied on. A person who shows themselves faithful in the execution of commands, like God's word. Or in the discharge of official duties. Listen, you have official duties. Did you know that? He said duties. No, but you are an ambassador of Christ. Right? He has called you to do his will. You are called. And so you are to be faithful. Can I tell you something? Sometimes being faithful doesn't get you the recognition that it deserves. It doesn't. You know what? Sometimes being a faithful wife, a faithful provider, a faithful husband, a faithful son to the Lord. And of course, by putting the Lord first, we're talking about, right? A faithful business owner, a faithful employee, a faithful friend. Sometimes you doing the right thing in the Lord's eyes doesn't get you a lot of fanfare, right? But you know who it gets fanfare with? Your Heavenly Father. Holy schmolies. And he's the one you ultimately want to please, isn't he? Listen, Jesus said something that I think is really, to me anyway, to me, super powerful. He said this in Luke 16:10, if I remember correctly. I can't read it, but it's 16:10. But it says, Jesus says, listen, and even honestly, sometimes, I love what Rebecca said. Some of you guys said, oh, do you have a hard time getting here this morning? You know what? Can I just be honest? I did too, right before I left, literally seconds as I was leaving. So many people, what they wanted to do is just stay home. And maybe you were one of them. But here's the difference. You were faithful. You just showed up. And I guarantee God's going to bless you for that. Sometimes it's doing those little things. Sometimes you're doing your devotionals every morning. Well, I don't see any growth today. I don't see any this week. I don't see any. I just can't. You know what? Sometimes you don't see, just like a fruit tree when it grows up, right? And it's bearing fruit. If you have an orange tree or a fruit tree in your yard, if you went out from day to day, can you go out and say, wow, whew, what a difference from yesterday, huh? Dang. You don't see that. It just happens over time, doesn't it? As it grows and bears fruit. It's the same with us. Does that make sense? But he says, if you are faithful in the little things, this is Jesus saying this, that you will be end up being faithful in the larger ones. So listen, oh, what's the big deal if I do this? Well, what's the big deal if I tithe? What's the big deal if I do my devotionals? Why join the Bible study? Why come in? I don't need to be asked. Just be faithful in the little things. And you know what? It's working a deeper perseverance in you. It's working a deeper work. And then he says, but if you're dishonest with the little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Listen, you're laying a path for others. Just like everybody goes to view and witness that, your faithfulness is a witness. Now, it might not be a witness right now. Mom and dad, if you have kids and you're trying to do the right things and you're like, man, they don't even appreciate it. Elijah. No, actually, usually, no, he usually does appreciate it, actually. But sometimes, let's be honest, they don't, right? For example, right? Do you know what? They might not for years, but they're going to see that steady faithfulness in the same direction. And even if the enemy's messing with their head or they don't want to, they're going to have to come back and say, yeah, but they've done it. Even when they mess up, they're still following the Lord, right? And years later, that's going to mean something to them. Listen, you're laying down tracks, in a sense, if you will. Chris, can you hit this picture? This is from 2 Timothy in the New King James Version, 2:2. Okay? It says, and these things that you have heard from me. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. He's telling Timothy, he's telling people that he's discipling. And he said, and these things that you have heard from me, I want from me among many witnesses, I want you to commit these to what kind of men and women? Faithful men and women. Who will be able to teach others. See, I don't know if you can see what she's doing, but she has the word of God there, right? And she's leading page by page by page by her example, by her life, by her decisions, even by her mistakes. She owns up and messes piece by piece by piece by piece by the word of God. Does that make sense? That's what we're to be doing. Men, women, we're to be laying that path for others. Husbands, for wives, wives, for husbands, for kids, for your employees, for your co-workers, for your friends. You get the idea so that you can teach others also. It's not fancy. Nobody's going to go, woohoo, you're obeying the word of God every time. Woo-hoo! But that same steady, steadfast, faithful obedience is going to bear fruit that will last. Everybody, does that make sense? It says, dear friends, you are faithful, pistos, in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters is what that means. And even though they're strangers to you. So what was happening, give you the context, and we'll find out a little bit more in a minute. But what was happening during this time is a lot of itinerant preachers and would go around from city to city. They didn't have webcams and live stream. Hello, everybody on live stream. They didn't have that. Or audio you could listen to later. So they would go. And so what they would do is they would trust in the Lord. These Christians, they'd pop and they would usually send them with a letter so you know they're received. And then you would welcome them into your home and minister to them, right? And he talks about being strangers. Now, the word is actually, not that anybody cares, Greek is xenos, like where we get the word xenophobia, like a foreigner, stranger, somebody we don't know, an alien, right? Xenos, okay? Stranger. And here's the thing. Anybody you don't know that comes in here, can I tell you what? Is a stranger. And he's saying, man, you're faithful even to these, even to strangers. And that's important, how you treat people. In Matthew 25, verses 35 to 36 in the New Living Translation, it says, when he's, they're there before the sheep and the goats, right? Some are going to heaven, some are going to hell, and he's talking to those who really followed him, that really walked with him, that gave their life over to him. It says, he said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, same word, xenos, and you invited me into your home. Those of you who invited folks into this home, praise the Lord. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Thank you for being welcoming. And then it says, as often as you did it for the least of these, Jesus said, you did it to me. So when you welcome a stranger, right, instead of doing, you know, giving them the old whatever, talk to the hand, when you welcome them, when you're kind to them, when you're receptive to them, it's not the pastor's job. We're all priests, right? You, me, us. It's all of our jobs to make people feel welcome. Jesus says this in Hebrews 13:2, and you can make strangers your friends just by being a witness for Jesus. That could be the waitress or the checkout person or the insurance guy on the phone, whatever. But Hebrews 13:2 says, do not forget to show hospitality. We'll talk more about hospitality in a few minutes. To strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it. Doesn't that blow you away? It goes on to say in verse 6, if I can read it. I have so many notes in my Bible that sometimes I write over stuff and I really can't see where 6 starts. I see 7. Where is 6? Ah, there we go. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. I really like that. You'll do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. He's like, welcome these people. Give them back more than what they came with as they're coming. And that's how the Christians worked back then, and this is how it works now. Look, this is in Titus 3:13. It says, do everything you can to help Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way. This is Apostle Paul writing this. And see to it that they have everything they need. Now I like this. Now, we give a lot of stuff away continually, every week at this church. And then, just so you know, if you don't, we give stuff, we ship stuff to folks, okay, that are watching online, okay? We do that. We don't brag about it. We don't boast about it. We just do it. That's all coming from us, not from me, not from Pastor Gary, from us, in Jesus' name. Every time we say it, every time it happens, we give it away in Jesus' name. Now, listen. There was a time, and I love this. It's saying, I want you to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. When they leave you, after you welcome them, after somebody comes into your life, I want you to bless them in a way worthy of the Lord. Okay, so listen to this. There's a time, this is in the Old Testament. This is in 2 Chronicles 9:12, and also in, processing standby, roughly 1 Kings chapter 10. King Solomon, at the time, was that was David's son, and he had so much wealth and so much. God just really blessed him with wisdom, and before he started going the wrong way, God blessed him with so much wisdom, King Solomon. And there was a queen of Sheba, it says, in 2 Chronicles, you can read it for yourself for homework in chapter 9. And she was from, she was an Ethiopian queen, and probably encompassed a lot bigger area from that. But she came, she had heard so much about the wisdom that God had given Solomon. She came to see him, and she brought so much, a caravan like they never saw before. It says, this is no joke now. It says, now let's think about this. Back then, okay, they brought spices that they'd never seen. Now, spice is like a commodity, right? Okay, back then. It was worth big bucks. It says that they brought wood, algum wood, like boatloads and boatloads of it. It says they brought gold. She brought Solomon 120 talents of gold. Do you want to know how much that is? 120 talents? Talents, about 75 pounds. I did the calculations. I did the math. So we're talking roughly, I think it's a quarter of $1 billion worth of gold. Okay, this is what she brought, along with a bunch of other stuff. I'm just, precious gems. It's like, oh yeah, whatever, diamonds, jewels, whatever. So she brought him all this stuff. And then it says that she tested him on stuff, and his wisdom from God was everything that he heard of and more. She said, everything I heard about you is true, that God has blessed you with all this stuff. I can't even believe it. And then she's like, I'm taking this back to my country. And she did. And then I love this. It says in 2 Chronicles 9:12, and this is a principle that I want to adapt. It says, the King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all that she desired and asked for. And then listen to this. He gave her more than what she had brought him. Then she left and returned. I don't know if I spelled that wrong. Is that a word? Is it? What is it? Okay. Okay. Yeah, her posse. Thank you. To her own country. That's putting in Darren language. So basically, and as a Christian, that's what we should be doing. Some people get frustrated. Why are you giving stuff away? How are we going to ever make any money? And you know, it's not about the money. This isn't a business. It's a ministry. And we're here for one purpose, to glorify Jesus, right? Now listen, I'm happy to have everything, and we're going to try to build and do things and just so we can glorify him more. But everybody in your life personally, as they get to know you, you bless them. But pastor, you don't understand. I don't have a lot of money. I'm no King Solomon. Well, you know what? You have the greatest treasure and the greatest riches. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you've received him, you've got it all, baby. Listen to what it says. It's truth. It's truth. Hear me now. This is from Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. In him, in Christ, are hidden how many of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? All the treasure. You have Jesus. You have something that somebody else does not have. You can give them that. That's the greatest thing. That's better than any money. That's better than any books. That's why all the books we give them usually are Christian books. And it says this. Listen, 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure. That's Christ Jesus, right? In jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Does that make sense? You have something you can give Jesus to everyone you meet and give them more than what they came. You just have to step out of your comfort zone. Oh, he's getting fired up. Where am I? Verse 7. We're getting through this. It says, it was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. I like that. Listen, there's a lot of ministries, and they try to get help, monies from unbelievers, and hey, it's a way to make money. I get it. We don't do that. Listen, if you're not a believer here, and you're not a part of this, you don't need to give. Now, if you want to give, we're happy to receive it, but we're not going to cajole you for money. That's ungodly. Listen, my Father in heaven owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's not Pope. He provides for me, and he provides for you. Now, maybe not ever. Do I want a bigger building? Yeah. Do I want this? Do I want that? Yeah. But you know what? I can honestly say, even when the first 2 years, I refused to even put a sign out there. I realize that's not a good market decision. But I'm like, Lord, if you want somebody to come here, you bring them here. And you know what? He still did. You still made it here. I don't even know how half the folks, you know, what? Thank you, Lord. Of course, now we have a sign and stuff. But so, you know what? We don't need to do that and to beg from unbelievers. You know what? If you're a Christian, you give. If you go to another church and you're visiting here or you're visiting online, if you go to that church and that's where you're being fed the word of God, give there. Wonderful. We don't take up an offering because we want to make sure people don't know they're not roped into it. There's a little bird box in the back. You can give there. That's between you and God. I'll never know what you give, so don't do it to impress me. You're doing it for the Lord. And it says in verse 7, he says, it's all done for the sake of the name. Listen, that name is everything you do. Everything we do, you know what? You hold the door. Oh, hey, just receive it in Jesus' name. You give somebody a couple, oh, that, no problem. Oh, it's just, oh, wow, you're such a nice young man. I love when people say that to me. The young part especially. I love it. Don't yell. Yeah, I still get it. Of course, they're 100. But anyway, I still get it, yeah. The point is, okay, I direct them right back to the Lord. It's Jesus. Oh, man, thank you so much. Oh, you are so nice. You are so kind. Thank you. It's just Jesus. Because whose name am I giving glory to? Not me. Do I want that glory? God forbid I rob God. Anything good you see in me, I can tell you, it's not Darren. It's Christ living in me. It's the same with you. Okay, yes, hand. Nice and loud. Okay.
And I put something out on Facebook, and within 5 minutes, someone I had to talk to in 5 years was like, call me right now. And I call them, and they're like, what do you need? I'm like, you know what? I don't need anything. I'm just feeling sorry for myself right now. And they're like, if you ever need anything, you call. And we will help you. And I'm like, awesome.
Wow. Praise the Lord. You see, sometimes you just don't know. You don't know. Did you have something you wanted to say too? I saw, okay. But the bottom line is, in Matthew chapter 10:42, it says, and if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, what does God say? You will surely be. That's beautiful, isn't it? Anything you do, a kind word, a patient heart. Listen, and Mark, by the way, Mark chapter 9, verse 41 adds, and if you give a cup of cold water in my name, is what it says, the same passage, to honor me. Okay? We do it all in the name of Jesus. We give everything away in Jesus' name. It says in verse 8, we ought therefore to show hospitality. And can I ask you, Lester, just to come up for just a minute or two? Do you mind coming up? No pressure. As he's coming up, it says, we ought therefore to show hospitality, verse 8 says, to such men, so that we may work together for the truth. And that's what we're doing. When you're giving finances and the Bibles are going out, we're working together. When you're praying to somebody, we're working together. When you're being friendly, you're working together. When you're showing hospitality, you're working together. George, I was here with somebody at the school, and there was another kid coming into the school. We had a lot of pastors' kids that come here for the school. I don't know why that is. But anyway, it was another pastor family of another church, and they wanted to put their kid in here. And anyway, it was really, and they were new, and they were getting to know us. And then George, who was doing tech work back there, you know, he's an engineer. He gets very focused. He stops, and he comes up, and he starts talking. And we're kind of in the middle of a conversation. I thought, uh-oh, engineer, he's just focused on the problem. And you know what he did? He said, folks, he said, can I offer you guys a nice cup of cold water? Would you like anything to drink or anything like that? Can I get you something? And their whole countenance just changed. yeah, that would be great. Or, okay. But you could just see George took the time to do that. And a little thing like that, and they're coming to school, they're happy as clam, they're so excited. But the point was, their whole countenance changed just because that little thing offered. Nehemiah, do you have the microphone? Oh, Lester. But can you talk for a minute? I have a couple scriptures here that I'm going to go over, and then I'll let you speak. 1 Peter 4:9. Sorry. I'm wound up. No. 1 Peter 4:9 says, this is for all of us to offer hospitality to one another. And don't do it with grumbling. Right? What's the point if you're nice to somebody and you hate every minute of it? Don't bother. Listen, and for those of you who don't know what hospitality is, that's just the friendly, welcoming, heart-centered reception and treatment of strangers or guests. We should all be doing that. In fact, Romans 12:13 says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. And you don't even know when that is all the time, like Sue was sharing. But always be eager to what? Practice hospitality. And practice means what? You do it over and over again. Well, Pastor, I'm not very good at it. Well, you know what? I'm not good at it either, but that's why I need to practice it. Right? All right, now, Lester, I'm ready. But then, no, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, brother.
Did you look up the Greek word for hospitality?
Let me think if I did. Uh-huh. I don't think I did, actually.
It starts off with, it's a joining of two Greek words. And the first one is philia. Okay. And the second one, I can't pronounce it.
Okay.
But it means strangers. So it simply means hospitality
love
means
strangers.
Love huh. Strangers.
Great.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah, me too. Now, I was reading the other day in my daily devotional, an old Corson. I love that guy. If I pronounce the name right,
yep,
I don't
John
know.
John Corson, yeah.
But anyway. And he was talking about, mentioned hospitality. And he says, you know, the root word of hospitality is H-O-S-P-I-T-A-L. I-T-Y. Hospitality, yeah. So we all know what a hospital is, okay? As a place of binding, healing, encouraging, et cetera, et cetera. And as I read that, and my mind resorted back to the 22 years that we ran in Zimbabwe, Africa, which was, and the town we were in was a tourist town. So we had a lot of visitors, but we found a hotel that had gone into liquidation. And the Lord said, buy it. We didn't have the money. But we did find out that when the Lord orders something, he pays for it. Okay? So that's a story in itself. But for 22 years, we saw missionaries who were coming. They, like one of the first ones that we had, Salvation Army missionaries came from Zambia. It was a mission hospital. And car pulled up. And they dropped off this young lady. And said, she's hurting, she needs help, look after her, we'll come and pick her up sometime. And it was just beautiful to see the way that the Lord ministered to her, so that when they did come back and collect her, she was a different person. And it wasn't because of us, but it's because of the love and the encouragement and the binding and the strengthening that hospitality does, because we give people our personal attention. We take a personal interest in them. We saw missionaries come who were at odds with their fellow workers. We had others that were hurting and that they had lost their son in a crocodile attack. Another one lost a son bitten by a rabid dog. Others were, we had a missionary come, and she had just been assaulted by a national worker. And we could tell you story after story after story how that the Lord healed encouraged and bound up because not only were we there serving and offering hospitality, but the Lord was there ministering to the people through us and by His Spirit. So I was encouraged when I saw that. Hospitality, ministering to, we didn't know them before they arrived. We didn't know. All we knew was, hey, there are people here that need encouragement. They need help. They need rest. Others, they came, they were ill. Malaria was one of the biggest problems. And they came, and they were sick. And they just needed a place in a Christian environment where they could be healed and where they could be encouraged. Our key scripture was Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name. Mm. We show it toward the people, yes. But we do it in the name of the Lord, Jesus. As yes. unto the Lord. Okay, in His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. The Lord takes note of it. Opening your home, opening your heart, that's the main area, because you open your home because you open your heart. You open your ministry because that's your heart as unto the Lord.
Lester, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Now, what about, we don't have a hotel here, but you know what? We have a home. Mm-hmm. Anybody who comes here, now, it's a home, first off, Christ is in this home. So everywhere you go, you can minister and show hospitality. But what about when people, we come, now nobody's going to probably come in here with malaria, although it could happen. Nobody's going to, but people are hurting, wouldn't you say, just the same. Now, sometimes they just don't broadcast it. In fact, 99% of the time, how you doing? Great, fine, great. And you know what's really happening in their heart? They're hurting and they're desperate. This is not my home, Lester's home, Pastor. This is our home,
yes.
To honor Christ. Every yes. person that comes in, you look at that way. How can I help them? How can I heal them? In the name of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense?
And if you open your home to them, you know, invite them, hey, come, have a meal with us, or whatever. All right. It's a scripture I saw in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple. All right, here's the temple. And breaking bread from house to house, and they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the Christians meeting together for encouragement, so they're getting victory over the various problems in our own lives, right? And also, as we get victory in our situations, we're sharing Christ with others, so the body of Christ grows, we grow spiritually, mm-hmm. as well as winning others
yes.
to the Lord.
Amen. Good word. I feel like you should just drop the mic after that. That was good. Good word, brother. Yes, thank you. Good job, brother. So you too, underline that in verse 8, show hospitality and work together for the truth, that is Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, okay, I'm almost afraid to ask, I'm not going to ask. It's verse 9 says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So he wrote to the other church, he probably sent Demetrius, which we read about later on in the letter, he probably sent him to go teach, and this guy Demetrius is probably thinking, Diotrephes is probably thinking, you know what? We don't need the Apostle John. I'm the pastor of this church. I'm the priest of my home. We don't need. And it said he just. And that's kind of sad. Listen, if you want to minister Jesus to people, especially if you want to be in ministry or Bible study or leadership in any capacity, it's the opposite. And I've seen this in so many churches. I am so honestly, in many ways, disgusted by what I see in leaders in churches. I'm honestly disgusted by it. Listen, here's what Jesus said. It's a little bit different than what you're seeing in modern-day church. But this is what he says to his disciples in Mark 9:35. He says, listen, sitting down, Jesus called his 12 disciples to himself. He said, hey, if anyone wants to be first, here's how to do it. He must be the very last and the servant. You want to be first here at this church? You want to be first? You be a servant. and you serve the least of these. Does that make sense? That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. So this guy, Diotrephes, it says in verse 10, it says, so if I come down, I will call attention to what he's doing. And sometimes, you know, guys, last week I mentioned a lot of names of some Christian leaders that, again, I don't know their heart, if they're saved or not, but I'm telling you, some of the doctrine that they're sharing, some of the word that they're sharing is the opposite of the heart of the Lord and the word of the Lord. And so some people got mad that I'm using their names. But listen, sometimes you got to call people out. That's what John is doing here. But with Diotrephes, he's saying, hey, I'm going to call attention to this. It's wrong. Paul did it too in 2 Timothy 4:14-15. He said, hey, that guy Alexander, the metalworker, he did me great harm. The Lord will repay him for what he's done. You too should be on guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. He said, I'm warning you, don't go there. Don't read their books. Don't get involved with their ministry. Stay away as a protection. And it says, listen to these. There's three things that he's doing, it says in verse 10. Number one, it says that he is gossiping maliciously about us. Gossiping maliciously. So he's gossiping and slandering their name, the Apostle John. Now that's just dishonoring the Lord. Now my wife actually hates this slide that I made up. She said it really creeped her out. But I thought it was good. Listen. Most of the time when people get all ticked off at the church or get talked at me or Pastor Gary, what would you say, Pastor Gary? 90% of the time, there's some truth in there, but most it's skewed in some way. They believed a lie. They thought something they shouldn't. They're stinking thinking. They didn't get more information. Happens every week. How about it, Gary? It's literally amazing. And it's probably happening every day. We just don't know. So the bottom line is the enemy is certainly trying to cause division and get you away from hearing the pure word of God and the meat of the word of God. And then when we share it, well, I heard blah, 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 the enemy uses it. Listen, Proverbs, I like this. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip will separate even close friends. So you know what? When it comes to stuff that you don't know firsthand about personally, zip. Keep your mouth shut. Trust the Lord with it. Or go talk to the person. Say, hey, can I get more information? 9 out of 10 times, that solves the problem. But I'd say 8 out of 10 times, that never happens. They just go away mad. Don't do that. Okay? Then don't believe the gossip. And also the slander. He says he's gossiping maliciously. They're slandering purposely now. And Proverbs 10:18 says, hiding hatred makes you a liar, and slandering others according to God's word makes you a? You're a fool, because you're giving the enemy room to work. Does that make sense? Yes. Gary, I'm afraid to ask, how long have I been teaching? How long? Okay, so we're going to really, really go fast, because we've got to close it out. Ready? Here we go. Here's the second thing he does. It says, in verse 10, it says, he refuses to welcome the brothers. Man, that's, you just heard from Lester, that's the opposite of God's heart. He wants us to show hospitality to one another. And it says, not only that, but he stops those who wants to do so. In verse 3, puts them out of the church. It's a power trip for him. It's disgusting. You know what? And I see that all the time. It's a power trip. I don't even tell you what I've had. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. It says, verse 11, it says, wait, why do I have that verse here? Hold on a second. I have a verse. Sorry, give me a second. Okay. Dear friends, it says in verse 11, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. So here's the deal. Don't be like this guy, Diotrephes, okay? So if you're going that wrong direction and it's all about you, or it's just a pride thing with you, or you just want to be noticed and first and all this stuff, forget that. In the kingdom, it means nothing. Turn from that. Psalm 34:14. You're going in that direction. The Bible calls it repentance, and that means a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of direction. Turn around, the Bible says. Turn from evil and do good. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Seek peace and pursue it. God's peace. Okay, so turn around. Don't be like this guy. And then it goes on. Okay, I'm just going to... It says, anyone, verse 11 says, who does what is good is from God, and anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Now, I'm going to take that at the end. We'll come back to that in a second. And then he says, the guy I'm sending to you, Demetrius, in verse 12, is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. So in other words, he's saying, receive this guy. This guy's the real deal. I don't care how popular this other guy is, Diotrephes, and how big his ministry is, and he wants your best life now. Forget that. So I want you to hear what I have to say, and it's from the Lord. In verse 13, or some of you will have 13 and 14, it's just, they just put the breaks in different spots, no big deal. It's the same message. I have much to write to you. Oh, it is 14. I didn't see that there. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. So it does go up to 14, George. You were right. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you, the friends here. Send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. All right. So we have finished 3 John, and here's the last little bit. If you go back to 11 with me, where it says, anyone who does what is good is from God, and anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. And what they're saying is doing what's good for his namesake. A lot of people do good things for their own namesakes, right? This is for the Lord. But this is what he's meaning, okay, by that. And I love this scripture verse, Chris, if you could hit the lights for a second. Okay. This is from our study in 1 John. Okay, this is 1 John 3:9. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a habit or a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So listen, I love this slide because here's the bottom line, okay? It's almost like it doesn't matter how deep you are in the sin, how deep you're in it, God will rescue you out of it. As you're reading the word, as you're asking God to cleanse you, to renew your mind, to transform your life, as you're taking that word, as you're obeying it, as you're making it a part of who you are, as you ask Jesus into your heart and you say, Lord, get me out of this, make it real. If you don't know Jesus, and if you do, Lord, empower me by your Holy Spirit, renew my mind, renew my heart with your word. Doesn't matter how deep you're sinking in that sea of sin, God's word will cleanse you and get you out. It's kind of like a pig and a sheep. You've probably heard this illustration or analogy or whatever you want to call it. But picture the pig as a worldly person, okay? I'll tell you what, before I was saved, that would be, yeah, I was a pig. The same, okay? And picture the sheep as a Christian person, okay? You're renewed by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Lamb Jesus, okay? So here's the deal. If you're in that soup, okay, right now, the pig, okay, and the sheep, okay, if they both leave that muck and mire of the sin, do you know what's going to happen? The pig is going to say, you know what? I kind of like it. That pig is going to go right back into that mud, into that muck and mire and say, you know what? That's where I'm at home. That's where I live. Ah, this is where I'm most comfortable. You know what the sheep's going to do? The sheep might be stuck in that same mud. The sheep's going to do all he can to get out of that muck and that mire. Does that make sense? And so when it says those who've been born into God's family don't make a practice or a habit of sinning, okay, it's not where they're comfortable. It's not where they live because God has given them a new life. Listen, God will convict you. If you know him, You can't live in the mud. If you really know him as Lord and Savior, you're going to be miserable because you know that heat of conviction of the Holy Spirit's going to be upon you. You're not going to be able to stay there because you're a child of God. You're to honor him and his name. Does that make sense? And so we close out the letter of 3 John and we say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Oh, Elizabeth, I have one more comment. I don't know where the microphone is. So who has? Would you run it back in the very, very back before we close out in prayer? And I'll just receive right back and way back. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, thank you so much. And if you just wouldn't mind just sharing, yeah, anything you need to share.
I almost didn't come today because physically I'm not feeling very well. Yeah. But God has been convicting me the past few days. I don't know if anybody knows what's going on in Cuba. I have family members and friends that are actually disappeared currently. So if you could keep them in prayer. And when the president of Cuba decided, hey, we're going to open up the doors for medicine and food, suddenly I had a massive amount of text saying, please come. The last time I was there was 2 years ago. And I honestly didn't want to go because it was to take my in-laws, and I thought my husband should have gone. But he says, I can't go. It's your turn. So I ended up going, and thank God I was able to minister to a lot of people, including one family member that passed away in the septic crisis as his personal savior right before
Praise
he passed.
Lord. Praise the Lord. That's awesome.
But since that moment, that was the first time I met the people in Cuba.
Yeah.
Since that moment, I've been able to minister to them. But now they're asking me to go over there with the help that they need.
Yeah.
Physically, at this moment, I'm not able to. So I've been struggling about this. And I said, God, if you truly want me to go, convict me and show me that you truly want me to go and provide what is needed to go.
Yes.
And I almost didn't come today, and everything today has been dealing with that, and it's one conviction after the other. If the church could pray for the situation, what's going on in Cuba, for the people who have been disappearing because of the situation in Cuba. People that are going hungry over there.
Yes.
People that are dying. Every day, there's thousands of people dying because of a disease that they so-called can't find.
Yeah.
So if the church can join me in prayer, that would be...
Well, I'll tell you what, if I can talk to you afterwards, either me or Pastor Gary, about some other things about that to try to help. What we can do as a body. But then right now, do you mind? We're just going to take and we're all going to pray for you and for them. Is that okay? Are you with me? Is that okay? Wait one more minute. Let's pray. Yeah. Father, we just thank you for your word that does not return void. We thank you for convicting all of your people, Lord, or for strengthening them, for encouraging them, Lord God. We pray right now, Lord, for each and every person, Lord, that your will would be done in them, Lord God, your good and perfect will. We pray specifically, Lord, for Elizabeth, Lord. We pray for a complete healing on her physical body, Lord God, anything that's going on, her ankles, or just everything that's going on, heal her in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. We ask for that by faith, Lord, that you would miraculously heal her up, Lord God. We ask, Lord, if she is supposed to go, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would prepare a way and provide a way, Lord God. And Lord, if she's just supposed to be the mouthpiece to get it rolling, then that would happen. Father, we pray if there's any way that we can help as a body to facilitate that. Lord, we are open to your leading. We ask for your promptings, either in each one of our lives individually, Lord, to speak to Elizabeth, or Lord God, personally, Lord, as a church, Lord, if you would have us to help and minister to them as a church, that you would allow us to do that. We want to be open to your will, Lord God, and we want to show them the love and hospitality of Jesus Christ, Lord God, in a hurting time, Lord, because we are like a mesh unit in this church, Lord. So we pray in Jesus' name, whatever you want done, you would allow us to be a part of it as we work together for the kingdom of God to bless those people who are in Cuba, Lord, folks that are missing and disappearing, Lord. And Lord, I pray for them and for their protection spiritually, first and foremost in the name of Jesus Christ, but then also physically in the name of Jesus Christ. And for all the people here, Lord, that are complaining about America, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would open their eyes to see what it's like in other places, Lord. They have no idea, Lord God. And so, Lord God, please turn this country around. We ask for that, Lord. We thank you for each and every person here, and we ask you to help each one of us to be faithful, faithful, to you and to serve you by loving others. And we ask that in the name of Jesus Christ and all God's people together say amen. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.